How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time now for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. You know, speaking of Dubs, they found that giraffe down there in the hill country.
Yeah.
It's living. About 4 miles from her home ranch.
I was worried about that giraffe.
I don't know if they were, Gracie. I don't know if they looked that hard for.
I know, 2 weeks of a missing giraffe.
It was 4 miles away.
How hard is that to find?
Maybe the camouflage was really good in the desert mountainy environment.
Gracie's got some skills. Yeah, maybe there's just not a lot of hills, traffic.
Some trees. Yeah, I don't know. I think they got a helicopter in the air. I would think that'd be the first thing you would do. But apparently there was water nearby in good health. They tranked the giraffe. They tranquilized it.
Okay.
And
they learned from the Harambe incident.
They're taking it home now.
Have you guys seen, Lucius, the taser to the face video?
What?
Yeah.
No.
I saw the guy go down.
What happened? What happened after
that? I don't know what's happened to the guy. I just know that there's a viral video going on. There was, in San Diego, at some bar, and like the security guy, who looks like to be an official law enforcement kind of dude, who's playing like the bouncer that night. This patron is like screaming.
Oh, that is close distance.
And it's point blank range. Wow. Taser to the face, bro.
Dang. That's tight quarters right there. That's not cool.
You'd want to hit the torso, you know, just out of common courtesy. For that close.
The eye?
Dude, yes.
Bring it down a little bit. Unless you're wearing leather, you know. Okay, if you...
You right? seeing that,
yeah.
dude?
Yeah, yeah, that's a body armor.
Oh, yeah,
that's the
yeah.
only way I'm shooting your face with a damn taser, dude.
Oh, my God. It was like a Nerf dart type of shot, man.
Right to the face, dude.
Yeah.
He told him a few times before that happened.
Won't be growing facial hair there again.
I don't know if he has an eyeball anymore.
Okay, if you're looking for possible reasons to believe the Cowboys can destroy defenses in 2026, I think your guy Joseph Hoyt has you pretty covered here.
He knows
now,
ball.
On the other side of the coin, if you wanted to be cynical, the guy was waived on final cutdown last...
Well, don't you start your crap.
Last...
No.
Why are you talking about old stuff?
Don't you bring this up.
I couldn't believe that when I saw that
I
story.
Was shocked, too, when it happened. All right, I had a night of crying.
Is that Miles Austin 2.0? Is that what we're looking at here?
Maybe. There was just Come a stash. On,
yeah, I mean, he stash. Cleared waivers. Nobody else liked him.
Yeah, because the rest of the league does no ball.
No.
They cut ties with their stash.
Right, I'm sick and tired of this crap from you.
But how good could you really be? How much could the coaches really believe in you? Headline, I've got a voice now. How Ryan Flannoy has taken the next step both on and off the field. Cowboys wide receiver has impressed Brian Schottenheimer with his play, but even more so with his leadership. And Ryan says, I really think coach said Ryan Flannoy is really taking the next step. I think he has a chance to be a terrific receiver in this league.
Terrific. Okay?
Flannoy's quote is, I got a voice now. And where that came from was during OTAs and minicamp, they broke into different platoons for competition and brotherhood. And apparently Shoddy chose Flannoy as one of the leaders of said platoon. And he says he earned it the right way. He earned it through special teams. He earned it by doing the run blocking, doing the things in the run game, the dirty work, if you will. You know, I said off, yesterday that I think this was off air that I thought the offense kind of comes down to Dak and CeeDee and Pickens being surrounded by some pretty average dudes. You know, you add a third wide receiver, though, I think you're legitimately talking about making it not matter if you don't have great running back depth. I don't know how much we – if Flannoy can be a terrific NFL player and you got three dudes, it's great to show on turf time. You know? It is who cares if we can't get out of 11.
Yeah, I mean, even when you say greatest show on turf, like you still have the Marshall Faulk factor.
Javonte Williams isn't Marshall Faulk now? You Debbie Downer.
Hey, no, I'm actually bullish on Jaden Blue as well. So
there we go.
But I hear what you're saying. I still think in order to get through, you want to have some level of a threat there versus certain defenses. Like just remembering what Brian Flores and the Vikings were able to do to you, you know? where they can just suffocate you. And Dak is going to be standing there in the pocket not knowing what's going on. There are some select defenses. If you're trying to reach the bold prediction of Walchuk's NFC championship game, you're going to have to go through some teams there where if you have no threat of a run game, you're probably going to be in some trouble.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes down to the tackles. Like, I remember that game was probably one of your worst, that you had your tackles play 100%.
But
can you get better tackle play?
Week to week, in general, you got these three guys, and Flannoy is even better than what he was last year. Yeah, that is going to be some special offensive Sundays.
Yeah, I'm trying to create something out of this in the preseason and early in the season to make defenses have to worry about all three of these
really
guys.
Really respect them. Yeah.
You're already getting the most split safety looks. They're terrified of bringing a guy down into the box, which is helping your run game with a third wide receiver. Getting active. I think maybe this is the most realistic, and maybe that was the point Bobby Belt was making last week.
It's a great point by Bobby.
So brilliantly,
I will say.
You know, maybe this is the most realistic way the offense becomes significantly better is a year. What is this, year three jump for Flannoy?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Would you want a year three jump from Flannoy, where he's a fair amount better than whatever he was last year, which was already pretty dang good, or Jaden Blue meets your expectations that you had for him when he got drafted? Jaden Blue's not fumbling. He can handle the ball 8 to 10 times a game. Like, what would you rather have here with the explosiveness of Jaden Blue?
Can I throw another thing in there, though?
What do you think, boys?
Can I throw another?
Hell yeah, you can.
How about your left tackle being just a badass?
That's huge.
If you said if you gave me a choice between your left tackle being a badass or your wide receiver being a badass,
I go left tackle. I live in the trenches here.
Okay, but you're just talking about
for the skill position. What would?
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you rather have? I think it's a fair question.
Give me Blue.
I would rather have Blue because I think Flannoy, right, what he did last year is already good.
It's already good enough.
Like, when he had to step up and be the wide receiver too, he's getting you 100 yards.
And what Blue does in the passing game, like if he's actually meeting the level of that we thought he could be in the passing game, he's going to make a huge difference there as well.
I also think, like, if you want to focus on the 11 personnel, and I get it, like the 13 personnel grouping with the three tight ends because of McVay and everybody's, you know, copycat kind of league, but the Cowboys have to continue to be good at running with the 11 personnel sets.
Sure, 100%.
And last year they were one of the better running teams, but I think you saw that start to fade. Part of what you're talking about, like specifically in that Minnesota game, some of that does have to do with Williams. And if you get Jaden Blue to live up to expectations, now you've got a fresher Javonte Williams.
That's true. How much better does it make Javonte Williams throughout the rest of the season? For sure. I mean, all that.
Yeah.
I heard this morning from Bobby Belt as well. This Eagles.
Why do you give him so much damn credit? Screw that guy, all right?
He's doing a great job.
I'm sick and tired of this Bobby Belt love. Is Bobby Belt on our show? Hell no, he's not. We're fighting for our lives over here, boys.
Cowboys insider.
Pat ourselves on the back.
It's only one Cowboys insider.
That's fair.
So Dawson doesn't expect MVS to be wide receiver three. Ask the 3-2-1 LMAO.
Oh, no.
He's probably going to make the team, though. I think MVS is here because they want Turpin to focus on kick returning, Brian.
I kind of feel like that you're going to maybe get your rookie that you drafted, Smith.
Oh.
I think that's going to be your final guy.
Okay.
That's who I
think. East Carolina guy? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Speedy dude?
He can stretch the field.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be your final guy. Probably be active every week.
Okay. But Bobby was delivering the Philly voices 10 reasons the Cowboys will be a dumpster fire in 2026.
Oh, yeah. This will be good.
Yeah, okay,
this is prime Hayden coming out of Philadelphia. Scale of 1 to 10, how likely are these things to be true? Number 1, Cowboys had a lot of things go right in 2025 and still only won 7 games. So they're saying last year's team was overperforming and just got lucky to get those 7 wins.
Is that true? They underperformed, and they should have had probably 10 wins. So screw you, Philly.
Yeah, how many games did they win that they really honestly shouldn't have?
None.
Kansas City?
I mean, the Chiefs weren't even a playoff team.
The Chiefs just ended up.
The Giants game?
As you look back, beating the Chiefs isn't that big of a deal.
Not anymore,
beating the Eagles
but at the
is
time
pretty
it
standard.
Was.
It was at the time it was.
Yeah, to win what Philly and Kansas City in a matter of what 5 days?
Gosh, I was on cloud nine, dude.
I mean, it could have been a 5-win team, but that's the NFL. Yeah. You know, it could have been a 10-win team.
I mean, they should have beaten Green Bay. They shouldn't have tied. They should have beaten Carolina.
Might have should have lost the Giants week
that
two.
One.
How'd they lose to Minnesota? Everybody was beating Minnesota. You know,
how'd you lose to Chicago? They were 0-2.
Coaching incompetence robbed them of a chance to beat Detroit. Yes, they couldn't stop anybody, but they did for a couple of series.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Flus.
Till Flus was like, let's get rid of this five-man thing and this blitzing thing. It's too effective.
Why would we do what's working?
With how bad the defense was last year, every win was a pretty lucky win.
Flus was like, man, they might score 40 on us if we keep doing this. Let's switch to something we guarantee they'll score 40 with. I would disagree with that, but from an Eagles fan writer perspective, it's about what I expected.
Should Russell Wilson have just left that game?
Yes.
And gone right into the CBS
booth? That was his Elway moment.
He still might make the Hall of Fame if he did that.
They could have carried him out on shoulders right up into the booth.
Just basically
next to Nance and Romo.
Done like the post-game press conference with the CBS blazer on. 100%. That would be right there.
Mr. Unlimited.
Number two reason the Cowboys would be a dumpster fire, according to the Philly Voice, they have no pass rush whatsoever.
Screw them. Do they know who James Houston is?
They actually do reference James Houston.
Okay.
And his 5.5 sacks.
Okay, do they know who Malachi Lawrence is? Because he's about to have a double-digit sack season as a rookie.
I mean, you have Quinnen Williams, you have those guys, you have Rashawn Gary, and the pressure numbers were good last year.
They got enough to just kind of glob together a decent pass.
I think it can be at least an average pass rush.
Yeah, it's not going to be great. Yeah, we're going to glob it all, and they're going to go out there and each give you 6 or 7 sacks.
Number three, the corners got roasted last season.
That's true.
That is a legitimate concern. We'll see. I'm maybe a little bit more confident in Jerron Bland and Kobe Durant, but after that, I'm right there with you. You know, I think last year having to play Diggs and Stewart and Bridges and Donovan Wilson. That's one that could be bad. Although, I should temper my optimism with Jerron Bland. I was talking with Cody Alexander yesterday on my podcast there on YouTube. How about WoW?
Woo.
And he was saying if you go back and watch Jerron Bland's interceptions from 3 years ago, a lot of them were just horrible throws. Like, he's trailing a play, he's out of position, and the quarterback threw it to him somehow.
Wow. So he was just Larry Browning this?
Yeah, he was actually saying it's the talent more than the scheme that kind of troubles him with the idea of Jerron Bland.
He just doesn't believe in Bland at all.
He's just not a good player?
I guess so.
Well, this isn't good news.
I know. I was like, oh, jeez.
That's not good.
Okay, the linebackers are a concern as well here from the Philly Voice.
they can eat bleep, all right? What about your linebackers? Backers, guys, you just lost to Kobe Dean.
Yeah, Zach Bond is not even that good.
Yeah, go F yourself. We got our own Zach Bond. His name is Jayshon Barham. Get to know him.
Number five, Parker and Downs can only help so much.
Whatever. Caleb Downs is the best player in the freaking draft. You wish you had a safety as good as him. You got to hide your damn corner, Cooper DeJean, and play him at safety because he can't play corner. And he's dating a Cowboys cheerleader. Get sexier chicks on your sideline.
I think a lot of things are just an incremental update, an upgrade. And,
But they're not factoring in Otito. I mean, they're not factoring in Kobe Durant.
Obonia. Come on now.
Number six, the tackles are a concern.
Oh, wow. Low-hanging fruit. What about your tackles? They're old as hell and their backs are breaking.
Wow.
That's the
fair points.
Maybe the most homeristic thing I've heard all off season.
Well, when it comes to the
that Bailot is a garbage player.
He sucks. All right, go back to New Zealand. Why don't you play for your team in the World Cup? Oh, wait, you didn't qualify.
Do they do the haka over there?
They do. Just ask our guy, Jay Toia.
Number seven, another high-profile contract situation there with Pickens. Although, I think media is burying their head in the sand on this one.
Yeah, I think that article is crap. And the editor who let it come out is garbage.
That's why I don't read the paper these days.
Yeah, we know, Mike. Number eight, Dak and the offense have failed to be consistently good. That's hogwash. Number nine, the Cowboys' schedule is more difficult than the Eagles.
Oh, bull.
I guess they get Packers, Buccaneers, Ravens.
Can we play the same damn teams?
Well, let me find out.
They're slightly
here.
Different.
Oh, slightly?
And number 10, the Cowboys owners run this team as a hobby. It's an unserious franchise.
Oh, you know what? Why don't you go eat with them at Nobu and tell me if it's unserious? Because that crap is delicious.
According to Warren Sharp, the Eagles have the 7th easiest schedule in the league, and the Cowboys have the 29th easiest schedule in the league.
Okay, well, what does Warren Sharp know?
All right, not a ton.
He doesn't even read books.
Let's call him and Barnwell out together.
Gosh,
what do
Warren
you say?
Sharp, I back do love your mustache. That is a quality lip ferret, it's but a, don't spare me with your crappy schedule takes.
Warren Sharp's preview is out, by the way.
There you go.
So prepare yourself for a flood of analytics onto the NFL timeline nearest you.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.